Thanks for listening to Olathe Wesleyan Church's online teaching. This week, Pastor Jim continues our series, The Habits of a Christ Follower.
Well, we've been in the midst of this series that we've called The Habits of a Christ Follower. And in this series, we've been talking about habits, right? I don't know about you, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but at least for me, in my situation, my experience, is that it is much easier to start and maintain a bad habit than it is to start and maintain a good habit. Can anybody relate to that? Right? For instance, let me just give you some examples, right? It's much easier for me to eat these on a regular basis than it is for me to eat this, right? It's much easier for me to spend hours doing this, and it's much more difficult to do this. Sometimes we exercise this way, and it's not a big deal. Other times we exercise this way, and it's a little more difficult, right? Sometimes it's easy to pick up bad habits. It's much more difficult to quit. Sometimes it's a quick fix. And other times it takes work and relationship to experience real intimacy. Well, we're in the midst of this series called Habits of a Christ Follower. Pastor Ken actually started this series a couple of weeks ago when he talked about the H in the word habit. The H in the word habit stands for hang time with God, and specifically in regards to prayer. Then 2 weeks ago, Pastor Janetta talked about the A, which stands for accountability with other believers. Then last week, Pastor Daniel introduced us to the B, which stands for Bible study. And he did a great job answering the question of why we should study the Bible. I was reminded of the importance of internalizing the Word of God as Pastor Daniel talked about Jesus' response to Satan in the midst of being tempted in the desert. You see, Jesus was able to identify the lies that he was being told by Satan because he knew God's Word. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to respond the way that Jesus did in the midst of temptation. But the only way for us to be able to do that is for us to be intimately connected with God through His Word. Studying the Scripture needs to become a regular habit. So as I was preparing this message, I decided that I really needed to kind of get a baseline to figure out where are we at as a church when it comes to studying Scripture. So if you've got your cell phone with you this morning, I want you to take it out. Everybody, take out your cell phone, hold it up. I know I already asked Ronnie earlier. He told me he left it at home, so that's okay. Take it out, okay? I've got this question I want to ask, and I want everybody to text their response, okay? The question is this. How often do you read the Bible outside of religious services? If you go ahead and enter in the phone number 209-269-3459 and then text the number 1 if you read the Bible daily. Text the number 2 if you read the Bible a few times per week. Text the number 3 if you read the Bible once per week. Text the number 4 if it's once or twice per month. Text the number 5 a few times per year. Or text number 6, never. Okay? It is anonymous. Somebody will know, but I don't know. Right? You're going to text the number, and then in just a few moments, we are going to see the results of where we are at as a church when it comes to studying Scripture. You see, habits don't just appear. They aren't the products of genetics or random choice. They're products of our behavior, which accumulate after repeated instances of doing that behavior. We wake up one day, perform a specific action, and go about our business like normal. You wake up the next day, you perform that action again, and you go about your business like normal. After a few days or weeks or even months of this, the action begins to stick. I worked for an individual who would have this phrase that he would always use, and he would say, baby steps compounded over time add up. You know, if we take steps in the right direction, eventually we will get somewhere. I have a morning routine. How many of you have a morning routine that you go through, right? We all have a morning routine. My morning routine looks something like this. I get out of bed, I turn on the light, I grab the clothes that I'm going to wear, I go into the bathroom, I turn on the light and the fan, I go to the bathroom, I turn on the shower, I get on the scale, I enter my weight in my health app on my iPhone, I brush my teeth, I dry shave because it just takes too long to lather up, I take a shower, I dry off, I put on underwear, I put on deodorant, I brush my hair, I get dressed, I turn off the light and the fan, I go into my bedroom, I toss my dirty clothes in the corner, full disclosure, right? I put my keys in my right pocket, along with my car key and my key fob. I put my cell phone in my left pocket. I put my wallet in my back left pocket. I turn off the bedroom light. I walk up half the flight of stairs to the landing. I open the front door so that I can see something because it's dark. I put on my shoes. Most days, they're Keen sandals. On occasion, I might try something that's a little less comfortable. I grab my backpack. I lock the door. And I step outside and head for my car. That's my morning routine. And from start to finish, it's usually less than 15 minutes.
Where's breakfast?
Breakfast is later. Breakfast is later. You know, I'll be honest with you. I have never liked brushing my teeth. Anybody relate to that? See, I have never liked brushing my teeth. See, when I go to the dentist, I tell the dental hygienist to scrape as much as they want. It doesn't even faze me. In fact, I find it quite relaxing, strange enough. But when they get ready to polish my teeth, I have to mentally prepare myself for that. And I tell them to make it quick. I don't know about you, but for me, it's an awful experience. It's similar to eating sand, okay? I personally hate the taste of toothpaste. I have a severe aversion to mint-flavored anything. The only kind of toothpaste that doesn't make me want to hurl is Crest's Cinnamon Rush. By the way, have you ever tried to buy Cinnamon Rush toothpaste at Walgreens? Has anybody? They don't sell it. Gary, if you want to increase your sales, you could stock it, and I'd buy two tubes per year. That would increase your sales. It might help your bonus. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I don't get all excited about brushing my teeth. It is something that I loathe doing, but over time, I have just made it a part of my morning routine. It has become such a part of my life that I just do it instinctively without thinking, and that's a good thing. Because I'm not sure that if I thought about it, I think if I thought about it, I would talk myself out of it. Right? But it's instinctively. It's what I do every morning when I get up. It just happens. Right? So how do we transfer that same principle when we talk about studying the Word of God? How do we make it a habit of regular Bible study? How do we make reading and studying the Word of God a regular part of our daily routine? Now, full disclosure here this morning. I haven't always done a good job of this. And my guess is that there are many of us here in this room who have not always done a good job of studying Scripture on a regular basis. I think for me, there have been different seasons in my life where it was easier or where it was more difficult. When I was in college, to be honest with you, I found it to be a chore. It was a struggle. And then one day, I found a one-year study Bible, and I just said, you know what, I can read my assignments for school, and I can do this. And you know what, I'm just going to open up this one-year study Bible, and every single day of the week, I'm just going to read what's required that day. And I just trudged through it, right? A few years later, I was in seminary, and I was taking all of these theological classes or Bible classes. And I'll be honest with you, devotions, Bible study, pretty much didn't exist because I was constantly in the Word studying and parsing and pulling apart Scripture ad nauseum. In ministry, sometimes it's a really easy process and you're in a good phase and you're studying Scripture on a regular basis. And then there are other times where it's like the last thing in the world you want to do. You see, at times, sin gets in the way. And the enemy tries to deceive us into thinking that, you know what, you're unworthy of reading that. Sometimes it's, you know, I've come across something in Scripture that has convicted me, and you know what, that's the last thing I want to do is look at that. Right? Sometimes I'm in a relationship, and that relationship is strained, and it's like the last thing I want to do is read the Word of God that tells me, you know what, I need to mend relationships, or I need to live in such a way that I have healthy relationships. There are all sorts of things that drive us, that distract us from studying the Word of God. But I can stand before you this morning and say that for the last 50 days, without exception, I wake up in the morning, and before I even get out of bed, I read through several chapters in the book of the Bible. So for 50 days consecutively, without missing, that's happened. So I stand before you and say that, you know what, it can be done. And I encourage us all to make it a habit of regular studying the Word of God. So at this point, I want to go to the survey results that we just talked about. And hopefully they're going to show up on the screen. There they are. Actually, that's probably better than I thought they would be. So if you can't see the numbers, it looks like 37 people responded. 16 said a few times per week. 7 said once or twice a month. 6 said daily. 3 people said a few times per year. 3 said once per week, and 2 people in the room said never. Okay. I think we can look at those results and say that, you know what, we probably can take a step in the direction of doing a better job, being more consistent in regards to reading and studying Scripture. So what are the hurdles to studying Scripture? first hurdle. And I think you may have to shut that off too. Okay. The first hurdle to studying Scripture on a consistent basis is the hurdle of desire. In Romans chapter 7, it says this. It says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. For what I do is not the good I want to do. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The reality is we all have this volitional component, this will that we control. And we have to realize that when it comes to studying the Word of God, that a lot of days, quite honestly, the first thing when I wake up, the last thing I want to do is read Scripture, right? And there's sometimes, some days that I just have to will myself to do it, to say, you know what, I'm going to give God's attention now. We have to overcome this hurdle of desire or lack of desire. And I can tell you this, the more I'm in the Word of God, the more I long to do it, the more natural it becomes. It becomes like brushing my teeth every morning when I wake up as part of my routine. When I was in seminary, I told the teaching team, I actually took a class, a 16-week course, on the book of Obadiah. The book of Obadiah, if you're unaware, is 16 verses, so it's like one page in your Bible, and we spent 16 weeks studying that book, and we really ran out of time in that course in studying that passage of Scripture. I think the Bible is like no other book. And you can read a book from cover to cover and pretty much have the plot, have everything, understand the story. But with the Bible, it's something different. There's so many layers and there's so many levels and there's so much depth in the Word of God that I don't believe we will ever exhaust it. We will never know it so well. We will never have the understanding that we would have of some of the literature that we read today. There's also the hurdle of discipline. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says this, spend your time and energy in training yourself for spiritual fitness. Or as the Message says, spend your time in the exercise of keeping spiritually fit. I don't know how you stay connected with God without being rooted in His Word. Pastor Daniel talked last week about what it means, what it looks like to be formed by the Bible, formed by Scripture. There's also the hurdle of distractions. And there are so many things that clamor for our attention. There's so many things that we'd rather be doing or we have to do or feel like we have to do. And oftentimes the last thing is studying or reading the Word of God. This is what Peter writes in 1 Peter 5. Be careful, watch out for attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for some victim to devour. Take a firm stand against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. Friends, Satan will use anything to distract you from what's really important. Satan will use anything to distract you from making it a regular routine of studying and reading the Word of God. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm reading Scripture, all of a sudden, something comes to mind. Oh, I've got to do this, or I've got to do that, or I've got to add this to a grocery list, or I've got to add this to my task list. Right? Some of you may sit down to start to read Scripture and all of a sudden have a crying child. Or you might wind up having kids fighting in the other room. that are calling, clamoring for your attention. Sometimes you may just have wandering thoughts, and it's like, man, I just can't get focused on this text. I can't get focused on this scripture, and you're all over the place. And we have these lovely devices, cell phones and iPads, and, you know, for the most part, they're wonderful, right? But at times, they're a distraction. And I find myself reading the scripture, and a text message comes in, and all of a sudden, oh, I've got to switch over and answer that text. Or an email comes in, and I've got to read that email. Satan will use anything to distract us from the main thing. What would it look like? What would it look like if we, as the people of God, when we pick up our cell phones in the morning before we do anything else, before we check Facebook, before we check our text messages, before we check our email, we're to open up the Bible app and spend just a few minutes reading from God's Word and gave that the priority for our day? How would that change your life, and how would that change our church? There's also the hurdle of dryness. I mean, you've probably been there, right? You open up the Word of God and you're reading through a passage of Scripture that isn't necessarily that appealing to you. And you're like, God, what in the world are you even talking about? I don't understand. I'm not getting anything out of it. Felt like the psalmist in Psalm chapter 13 says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? I don't know if you've ever been there. My assumption is that you've been there. Sometimes that dryness is a result of just plain weariness. Just we've been pushing and pushing and pushing and haven't been taking care of ourselves. We haven't been getting the sleep required. And in those situations, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap or get caught up on sleep, right? Sometimes our weariness is a result, as I've already mentioned, is a result of sin or disobedience or broken relationships. And we need to realize that it's unlikely that God's going to give us something new if we haven't lived up to the level of obedience of what he's already taught us. Another hurdle can be this whole idea of not passing on what we've learned or what we've observed. If you don't give out what God is giving you, to you, you're going to dry up spiritually. It's like the two lakes in Israel. At the top of Israel is the Sea of Galilee. It's green, it's fertile, it's alive. They still do commercial fishing in it today. Out of the Sea of Galilee comes the Jordan River, and the Jordan River then flows into the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is literally that. There's nothing in it. It's full of brine and salt, and there's no living thing in it. What's the difference between the Sea of Galilee, which is alive, and the Dead Sea, which is dead? The Sea of Galilee receives water from the mountains of Hebron and the northern mountains of Lebanon. It comes in, but then it goes out. The Dead Sea only takes in. There's no outlet. If you're always taking in and you never give out, you never share it with somebody else, then you're going to be like the Dead Sea. Sometimes we experience dryness because we have inadequate resources. I'm not talking financial resources. But sometimes we're trying to study out of a Bible that's super tiny and we're trying to read it, and it's difficult. Sometimes we're studying a Bible that is written in a, or is a translation that's difficult to read. For some in the room, I suspect that If you pick up the King James Version, it's a little more difficult to read than, say, the NLT or the New Living Translation or the New NIV, New International Version. But then we also experience dryness because we forget the privilege. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says this: He will keep you strong right up to the end, and he will keep you free from all blame on the great day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will surely do this for you, for he always does just what he says, and he is the one who invited you into this wonderful relationship, this wonderful friendship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So what are some of the tips or tricks in regards to making it a regular habit of studying the Word of God? I've already mentioned these, but if you don't have a system, if you don't have a plan to regularly study the Word of God, I encourage you to get one. One of those plans is as simple as picking up one-year Bible. It's just broken up by day one, day two, day three, and you just read through. Has some passages in the Old Testament, some in the New Testament, some in the Psalms, and the book of Proverbs. And I just encourage you just to read day one, read day two, read day three. If you want to have a paper format, that's the way to go. Another option is to download the Bible app on your phone. I hope you all have the Bible app on your phone. But the Bible app gives you the opportunity, if you look, that's a screenshot of the Bible app on the right. Down in the bottom on the middle, there's plans, and there's a list of all sorts of plans that you can read. You can read through the Bible in 1 year. You can read through the Old Testament. You can read through the New Testament. You can read through individual books. A couple months ago, I read through the Gospels in 30 days, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm currently reading through the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs in 30 days. And so you can choose a plan. The great thing is it sends you a reminder saying, hey, don't forget to read the Bible today. You read it, checks it off, and it shows up that you've got tomorrow's. If you miss it, it doesn't check it off, and you can go back and catch up. If you don't have a plan like that, I encourage you to do one of those two things. Another thing is, it's helpful to have a specific time. Just like my morning routine, there's a specific time where I brush my teeth. There should be a specific time in your day and your routine. It doesn't have to be morning, but it's a specific time in your day or routine that allows you to focus your energy and attention on the Word of God. So find a specific time. And then I think it's important for us to have just some kind of plan of attack. A few weeks ago in our Principles of Discipleship series, we shared with you this just simple Bible study method known as SOS, say, obey, share. When you're reading scripture, you read a passage, you read a chapter, you then ask yourself, what is the scripture saying? And you simply think that through. If you want to journal, you can journal that. What does the scripture say? What does it say to me today? The second question you ask is, what should I obey from this passage? As I read this passage of Scripture, as I realize what it's saying to me, what do I need to do about it? What do I need to obey today? What needs to change in my life to be in obedience in accordance with the passage we just read? And then the third word there, share. You then ask yourself this question: who is someone that I can share this message with today? Say, obey, and share. Another option that is pretty popular is kind of more of a journaling method, journaling approach to studying Scripture. And I must confess, I am terrible, terrible, terrible at journaling. But the acronym is SOAP. You start off by taking a passage of Scripture and writing that passage, copying that passage verbatim into your journal. When you're done copying the passage or writing the passage into the journal, you write down any observations that you might have as a result of reading that passage of Scripture. So what is it that you observed? And you spend some time just thinking through, okay, what's unique about this? What's God saying? What am I observing as I read this passage? The A stands for application. So you ask yourself the question, how does this passage apply to my life? How does it apply to me today in the here and now? And you write that down. And when you're done with those three steps, you reflect on it and you say, you know what? I'm going to pray that God would help me to apply those things that I've learned. And you spend time in prayer. In fact, if you even want to write out your prayer that day, I'd encourage you to do that. Now, in my Christian life, in my spiritual journey, there was a day that I would really just beat myself up because I wasn't consistent. My dad was military. He served in the Army for 20 years, retired military. And I think I've shared in the past that one of my dad's key values, core values to the bone, is consistency. Right? So if you get all A's and one B, it's like, why weren't you consistent, right? If you got all C's, no problem. If you got all D's, no problem. At least you were consistent. That was the household I grew up in, right? But I would beat myself up when I wasn't consistent or when I'd miss a day and it was easy then to miss a second day and it was easy to miss a third day and eventually it was a week, and it was a month, and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I just can't do that, right? If we're not careful, we can become extremely legalistic in regards to our study of Scripture, and we can beat ourselves up, and in essence, we defeat us even before we start. So don't be legalistic about it. And put a plan in place, and if something comes up, okay, no big deal. Let's do it tomorrow. All right? Don't get legalistic about it. And don't give up. Don't give up. Tomorrow's another day. You start over. Let me start rebuilding that habit. And over time, eventually, it will stick. It'll become part of your regular routine. So what would it look like if those of us here today became committed to making Bible study a habit, a regular routine, like brushing our teeth, or stalking people on Facebook, or checking the scores of our favorite teams, or playing with our favorite game on our cell phone? What's the favorite game today? The Yordies, it's the Royals, right? Words with Friends. See, I don't play those things, but... But I see people spending hours and hours and hours engrossed in a game on their phone. And man, what if we would just take a small portion of that time and applied it to the Word of God? How would that change our lives? How would that change our families? How would that change our church? But more importantly, how would that change and influence the society around us? What if you found a way to reward yourself for spending time in God's Word? What would it look like for us to be so disciplined that we would spend time reading God's Word before we open any other app on our phone? Friends, God desires this for you. He desires to be intimately connected with you in a relationship. And he wants to speak to each one of us through his word. He wants us to speak to him through prayer. He wants to speak to us and guide us to help us to understand what his will, his purpose, his plan is.
Thanks again for listening to Olathe Wesleyan Church's online teaching. To learn more about us, visit us at www.olathewesleyan.org or visit us on Sunday morning at our 10:30 a.m. worship service. Thanks again.